Hello, hello, it's JJ, and I am so honored today to have Dominice with me. I've been watching her work from afar, and I just love not only the language she uses, but the work that she's doing to help bring more people to the light and to really follow their soul's path. So Dominice, thank you so much for joining me today.
Hi, JJ. Thank you so much for having me today. I'm really happy to be here.
It is so exciting. I was just listening to your podcast and I was thinking, gosh, I mean, I just love the messaging. I was listening a little bit about some of the trauma and how you define trauma and how you define soul work. So before we get into all the work that you're doing today, tell me a little bit about how this journey, this part, this chapter of your journey started.
So this chapter of my journey started after spending many, many years with unaddressed childhood trauma that had just, you know, gone unresolved for years. Started really early in my childhood. I started overeating at a very young age to cope with those emotions and just the pain that I was feeling. And I essentially existed for, you know, almost 30 years, essentially kind of a shell of myself, feeling very numb, and dimming my light a ton. And so when I got pregnant with my first daughter, who is six now, so this was 2016, I just started feeling this pull to ground and to go inward. That was the first time in a long time. I grew up in a Christian household. And so religiosity was very big in my household, but it was never something that I felt fully connected with. So 2016 was me kind of beginning my spiritual journey of, you know, knowing that there is a higher power. There's, you know, the universe is here to support us, and feeling like I wanted to begin deepening that relationship. And so I started in 2016. I was still very inconsistent for a couple of years up until about the end of 2019, right before COVID happened. And then I went deeper into my journey, which really like catapulted me to where I am today. And deepening my journey looked like really starting to focus on healing, like releasing a lot of stuff that I had been holding on to. It included meditation. Breath work was a part of it. So it really looked like just beginning to release a lot of the stories and the pain that I was holding and really beginning to nourish all the parts of myself.
I just want to take a deep breath on that, because I mean, what you just said in just a few minutes is like so many people's journeys and stepping into yourself. And I think it's just such a beautiful thing that you did it when you became a mother, thinking about maybe how you wanted to be mothered or how you wanted to change the trajectory for your offspring is really so beautiful.
Thank you. Yes, that was a huge part of it for me, because I think a lot of the things that I struggled with and the patterns and the things that I had to forgive my mom for, I wanted to make sure that those patterns weren't repeated. And so 2016 was my first daughter. And I didn't mention that 2019 was actually the birth of my second daughter. And so there was something about motherhood and like you said, like not wanting to repeat things and really recognizing my role as a mom and how important it was to heal that allowed me to start and then go deeper into my own journey.
I'm reading a book right now called The Origin of You. It is so great. I heard it from another woman I interviewed a few weeks ago, and it really takes sort of some of the traumas that happened as a child and talks to you how they may be showing up in your life now. And Vienna's the author. And I feel like I've learned so much just about myself, but I also think the interesting, you know, obviously do you feel like now that relationships are purposely placed in your life for life lessons? Do you believe that?
I do. Sometimes I question God and I'm like, why did you give me such hard children? But they are like teaching me patience and they're teaching me love. And even my partner, we are separated right now, but I like after we separated, I started looking at a lot of our relationship, and we have been together for a really long time. And I was just recognizing all of the ways that we grew together, but also like he was forcing me to grow in a lot of ways. And I also recognized the way that my trauma showed up with him. And so I do totally believe that we choose the folks that we are in relationship with, like our souls choose those people to help us with our evolution. And so again, going back to my children, I feel like I wouldn't be having this conversation with you today had it not been for me becoming a mom and really recognizing my responsibility to work on myself so that they could be better versions of themselves. And so I definitely believe that like that's a special connection that we choose.
That's beautiful. And I believe that too. I mean, as much as I don't want to believe that at times that we pick a lot of our relationships, the more investigation and self-evaluation and deep discovery I do within, the more I realize the lessons that have come from different people that seem to be too perfectly orchestrated mm-hmm. for the work that I'm doing now. Mm-hmm. So I appreciate the fact too, that you bring up religion, because this seems to be a common theme in the community for a lot of the people that I'm interviewing, is that oftentimes many of the light workers and energy practitioners I interview are brought through a family with really intense, sometimes strict religious beliefs and behaviors. Mm-hmm. And I think that that has to do a little bit with the fact that some of these light workers and energy practitioners have done this in previous times, mm-hmm. and they almost don't want to use their light again. So they think if they come through a family that's super religious, that they won't do it. What do you think about that?
I've never thought about it that way. It could be true. I will say that for me, kind of going back to choosing our relationship. So I studied the Kabbalah, which is kind of like just understanding universal life laws and how things work and function. And one of the things that the Kabbalah teaches is that we choose our folks, our relationships, our parents, you know, all of the people around us based on what we need. And so as an example, for me, one of the things that I've had to heal and struggle from was being abandoned, feeling abandoned as a young child and having that story in my head about being abandoned. And so it's like whatever your soul needed to come here to like evolve and learn from is the exact thing that you will have parents or people around you to teach. And so the things that we dread are the very things that are actually put here to help us. And so whether religion is a part of that, I don't really know. I've never really thought about it, but I do believe that our families, like our friends, our soul groups, almost like those groups of folks that we travel through this life with, I believe that they are a part of our journey for a reason. And so, like I said, if religion is a part of that and kind of, you know, feeling and figuring out where you fit in that religious place, I think that nothing is a coincidence. Like everything is definitely happening for a purpose for all of us.
Mm-hmm. I believe that. I say that all the time. I have to shift my thinking to say, this is happening for me. This is not happening to me. And so mm-hmm. if it's happening for me, what is the lesson? Because I know, as you probably do too, Oprah always says, you know, catch it on the whisper and mm-hmm. not when it hits you with a 2x4. Mm-hmm.
I usually get hit across the head with a 2x4, I will say.
Oh, well, you're doing amazing work. I mean, you've developed a school of healing. And so here you're on your journey. You're starting to become a mother yourself. You're realizing you need to go at life differently. And then you have another daughter. I think you have 2 girls. And I saw them on the yoga mats with you, which is so adorable, in one of the pictures you posted. But how do you decide you're going to open and start a podcast called The School of Healing? Like, did you have doubts? Were you like questioning, like, who am I to do this?
Whenever I tell this story, I'm like, there was no room for anything but a yes. So the idea for the podcast came at the fall of 2021. I started my yoga teacher certification. I was previously a nutrition and wellness coach, and I was working primarily with women, busy women, moms, wives, you know, business and career women. And I had started to notice this pattern with them where, you know, they would come to me and they would want to lose weight and live healthier and learn how to manage their weight. And all of them were really stressed and overwhelmed and had a ton of anxiety and they didn't know what to do with it. And so as a coach, I had to do research to figure out how to best support my clients. At the time, I didn't know anything about stress management. I was always really overwhelmed and stressed out. And so it was like, the more that I learned about stress and trauma, the more that I realized that, oh, there's a bigger issue here with us as a society and how we really work through and address stress and trauma. And so that pivoted me to start Moving Still. And so a part of that was going to start my yoga teacher training program. And so in the fall of 21, I'm going through this yoga teacher training, which for anyone who's listening, who's ever gone through a training, there's so much healing that happens during that process because you're doing yoga, you're being still, you're meditating, you're doing all of these things. And so in January of 2022, I was doing restorative yoga. So, you know, literally like holding supine butterfly pose. And just as clear as the two of us are talking today, I heard this whisper in my ear that was like the School of Healing podcast. And it started giving me like the overview of what the podcast was going to be about. And if you've ever been meditating and had like a major download, I instantly came out of the meditation, grabbed my journal and started like scribbling like a crazy lady, because I'm trying to keep up with this voice that's giving me all of this information about this podcast. podcast. And so that's how the podcast came about. I am an avid podcast listener. I have been listening to podcasts for years before that point, but there was never a thought in my mind about, oh, I'm going to start a podcast. Like, it was just never something I considered. But the message was so clear that it was like, I couldn't do anything but be obedient and say yes. It wasn't like, maybe I'll start a podcast one day. And then like, I had to think about it. I mean, it was literally like the name, the purpose of the podcast. So I was very clear. And so it was, I knew that that was way bigger than me. And so I just decided to be obedient to saying yes to it. It was challenging in the beginning because I recognized I was putting myself out there in a way that I had never done before. So sharing my story and, you know, just sharing parts of myself that I had been really ashamed of and felt really guilty about in the past. But the podcast was really like a culmination for the book. And so now I'm finishing up writing my own book, which shares more of my personal story that hasn't been shared on the podcast. And so I think that all of these modalities have really been helpful for me in my healing journey because they've allowed me to free myself from stories that I was stuck in for so long. And I think when you tell your story, like it loses that grip on you that sometimes our stories can hold over us.
Good. That is so good. I want to like dive into so many pieces. So the things I want to highlight, one is the whispers are within you. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's just about creating the space for them to come through because so many of us spend so much time in our head planning and defining and even allowing these stories to take control mm-hmm. of us, whether it's a conversation that happened yesterday or something you got to plan for in the future. And I have a whole chapter. Most of the book is about like, how do you tap into your whispers. And I feel mm-hmm. like that is such a beautiful example of sometimes it can be so crystal clear.
Yeah. Yeah. I love what you just said about like that getting still piece. My book is called Hold Space to Heal. And I think that like, if we just allow ourselves to be still for our bodies to do the healing work that it needs to do, like we have these wonderful organisms that are so smart and so wise and they can release things, but it's like we're moving, we're distracted, we're not allowing ourselves to do that. And so much of my journey has just been stillness. Like it's just been sitting in those moments of stillness and letting those deep and scary thoughts and emotions come up for me and just holding space and being present with them and then being able to release them. And so I definitely agree with you that for me, like being here today and like continuing to allow myself to be guided comes because I do make space for stillness and quiet time and solitude often to get those like nudges and intuitive nudges that I need to keep going and to know what the next best step is. And that is new for me because for so long, it was just, I was in my head and it was just mind talk. And I was always confused and uncertain about my life and my purpose. And it took me like being still and holding space for meditation and breath work and things of that nature to find the clarity that I had always been searching for.
Mm-hmm. That is so beautiful. So how do you do that? Because you have two kids, you have mm-hmm. a podcast, mm-hmm. you're helping so many people, you're being a coach and a one-on-one and you do group and now you're writing a book. So do you schedule it in your calendar and is that non-negotiable? Can you explain how you create that space?
So 3 years ago now, I started focusing on my mind, body, and spirit every single day. And I call it soul care. And it's morphed and shifted a lot because I'm not able to do those things as consistently every single day. But soul care for me looks like really nourishing all those parts of yourself. So again, if you think about a triangle, it's hitting the mind, the body, and the spirit. Self-care often just focuses on the physical piece. And so when you think about self-care, a lot of times we're pampering ourselves, getting our hair and nails done. And I don't think that's an all-inclusive picture. And so really making sure that I'm pouring into my spirit every day and like motivating myself with positive things every day, like being in control of what's coming into my mind every day is a really important thing for me. And I've been doing that now for, like I said, like 3 years. And it's really my morning routine. So I'm very intentional about waking up before I start my day with my girls or before I start my day in general and just having time to be with myself and to pour into myself so that I can start my day from a place where I'm full before I give to other people. And that has become a non-negotiable for me. I try to as much as I can, unless I'm sick or, you know, like I didn't sleep well and I need that extra bit of sleep, I will honor my body with that. But if I'm feeling fine and I have the time in the morning, I will hold space for meditation and breath work because I just think it's so important for me showing up and being able to share myself and my light with the world.
I love that. And I love soul care. And I know that you have on your website, article for 10 soul care activities. So I'd love to include that in the show notes, because I feel like it's a word that we all hear, soul and self-care, but soul care is so important because I believe that society keeps us so, so busy so that we don't hear the wisdom of our souls. Oh yeah,
for sure.
And so we have to dedicate time to tap into our wisdom.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I agree. And I think for me, I will speak from my own experience. For many years, I struggled with my weight and I was always focused on just the physical piece. So it was just like that self-care piece, like what do I need to do? What's the next best diet? Those sorts of things. And I always felt unfulfilled. I always felt anxious. I always felt uncertain about my life and I didn't have clarity. It wasn't until I began to focus on that soul, that spiritual aspect. And it wasn't until I began to be more intentional about what was coming into my mind that that started to shift for me. So I think when we're thinking that we're doing something for ourselves and we have the best intention, but we're still feeling very fulfilled, like our lives are just like something's off. Like I can't put my finger on it, but like there's something off here. I'm not happy. We know how that feels. When you feel that way, that is an indication of like, you need to be with yourself. You need to hold space for solitude. You need to make time for soul care to allow yourself to be guided. Like your soul is nudging you that, hey, something's not right here. You know, like maybe you're a little bit not in alignment with what you're here to do. And I only think that we find our answers when we allow ourselves to be still. You said earlier, all the answers are within us, but oftentimes we don't sit still enough to let the answers come to us.
I love that. I love that. And I'm going to echo something I've heard from you today, just reading up on you and just getting to know you and what you're doing in the world is surrendering to the call. And that really resonated with me.
Thank you. Yeah. So you asked me about the podcast that was surrendering to the call, because I could have easily been like, oh, I'm not going to do that. You know, like, I don't want to put myself out that way. But it was like, I recognized that this was bigger than me. And every day that I show up to do this work, I recognize that it's bigger than me. And I think one of the most beautiful things that have happened maybe in the last like year for me has just I've gotten so much clarity about my purpose. And I know that we hear that all the time. And like, that can be a very intimidating word for people because it feels like I have to be doing something. It's nothing specific, but I recognize like my purpose is just letting my light shine to be a lighthouse for someone else. It's not a specific thing that I'm doing. Like, I feel like as humans, we are all connected in that way. And it's like me getting that clarity and saying, okay, I will step into this. Like, I will let my light be seen in this way to be a reminder for someone else that they have light. Like that for me is surrendering and saying like, not what I want to do, but like source, God, you know, the universe, like I trust you enough to also feel gratitude that you gave me such a beautiful vision and like you trusted me with something so beautiful. And so, yeah, surrendering is recognizing that you might have to share parts of yourself that used to bring you embarrassment and make you feel ashamed. I've healed myself from that now. And by surrendering, it's allowing someone else to know that it's possible. Like you don't have to stay stuck in those stories.
I love this. And honestly, this really encapsulates why I started this community, Together We Seek, because I believe we're more alike than different, but some of us are farther ahead on the journey than others. And I love hearing the stories of how you've illuminated your path. And I'm just really excited that you're here, Dominice. And we're going to shut off the recording soon so all the people that join the live can say hi to you and ask questions. But I do hope that when you come out with your book, or you have a podcast you love, you will post it in the community for more people to find you.
I would love that. The book is going to be out very soon, so I'd love to share more about it with your community.
Oh, that's great. Well, thank you so much. And if you want to tell people where they can find you, we can definitely highlight that.
Awesome. So I am on LinkedIn and Instagram the most. Those are kind of the spaces where you'll find me. And so I am Dominice R. Clifton on both of those sites or both of those social media spaces. And I always joke, find me in the Cliff Notes because my name is really long. And then outside of that, I will, I would love to share the 10 out of 10 soul care checklist with you so that for anyone listening that's wanting to understand this concept of soul care a bit more and maybe wanting to try that out for themselves, they'll have some resources that can empower them to do so.
I love that. I'm so honored you joined us. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.